This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
Well, when I was 2, I moved to Texas. Sad to leave the United States. But now I'm saying let's secede, cause I don't want to wait. So I'm taking my Texas flag down to the South Pole. I'm gonna make myself a capital in an Alamo out of snow. Yeah. Well, we ain't got purple mountains, but we got a lot of snow. I got a neighbor who's a polar bear, goes by the name of Joe. Joe and I make barbecue and sit out in the sun. And I'll take Joe back to Texas when our war is won. Look away. Look away, Antarctica, USA.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. How you doing, everybody? Phil here on the P2 Podcast, thrilled to be with you as always every week. Here we are, broadcasting all things that make you a little more enlightened, a little more smarter, a little more informed in your daily life, hopefully. Well, to that end, oh man, right off the top, I gotta hit it this one here. We just went through, in the world of sports, the big lockout labor talks in the NFL. Remember this? Oh man, the season was gonna be canceled. They were not practicing. NFL labor dispute, right? No games, no one knew if the season was going to happen. Then kind of at the zero hour before the season starts up, you know, they get in a room together, the players and the owners, and they come to some agreement. And we got a football season. Thank goodness. What we all do, though, love without a little football in the fall. Good grief. Hard to imagine without it. Well, what do we got now? We got this NBA thing. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be as big a fan or a follower of the NBA as I am the NFL. Although with my Mavericks winning the title, makes it a lot more fun. But I do follow it. I follow everything the Mavs do, and you know, love the playoffs and all that. But it's all the same situation here with the lockout. You got players earning exorbitant amount of money, and owners making exorbitant amount of money, but they're fighting over who gets to keep, you know, what part of the money in the collective bargaining agreement. And I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I have a solution. And, you know, we talk about Seth Godin a lot on this show, his blog, Seth Godin. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, something he'd written about the new recession. Go back and check it out, one of the recent episodes. But, man, he had he mentioned a point in one of his emails a while back that stuck with me and now is rising to the top of my consciousness here as we go through the same thing in the NBA as we went through with the NFL. And that is, you've got you know, you got, it's all profit sharing. The league makes money. You got players, you got owners, and they argue about, you know, who gets to keep what. And the main point Seth was making a while back during the NFL thing, which bears repeating here, is if there is no game, if the season is canceled, or even part of the season in the NBA, everybody loses. The players don't get revenue. The owners don't get as much money. And the fans are all pissed. That's what happens if there's no games. So, man, the solution is very simple. You play the games. There's no question about it. So you can't not play. That's the whole thing here. You can't not play. Here's what you do. You get Phil in there. Me and Seth Godin straighten this deal out. You say, guys, look, it's in everybody's interest, fans, owners, players, to play ball, to generate the revenue. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take every dollar, whatever disputed dollars there are out there. I don't know how the concessions and vending work at different arenas around the league or whatever. I don't know how that works. But there's definitely money from, you know, tickets and parking and stuff that does, some goes to the owner, some goes towards player salaries and pensions and whatever. So you determine what those dollars are and you say, look, we're going to go down here to the Wells Fargo Bank or whatever and open us a checking account, you know, an escrow account. And we just say, look, every game in the league, we take that money and we're just going to put it in there until we have a deal. Nobody gets any money. Now, you say, well, Phil, geez, you can't expect the players to go out there under such uncertain conditions. You know, they're the workers, they're the employees, they're working for free, blah, blah, blah. That's not right. That's not right. They're getting paid. Their money's sitting in that bank account, in the escrow account at the Wells Fargo, just waiting. And when they have a deal, and they're all in agreement that a deal will be reached at some point, maybe next week, maybe in 5 years, whatever it is, you say, well, as long as you think the league will go on, we'll have an agreement. The sooner we have an agreement, the sooner everybody gets paid. And I'm telling you what, man, you get through the first week of the season, man, that escrow account is just going to have, I don't know how much, millions, hundreds of millions, a billion, I don't know, money piled in there. But the players aren't getting their checks, or I don't know how that works, but they're not getting their share. The owners aren't getting their share. And man, as the weeks go on, the guys, they keep playing, you know, the fans are happy that they're playing, and you just make this whole thing kind of a sideshow. Like, oh, what's the deal that they're playing the games under escrow or something? You say, well, they're just, you know, they're working out a deal or something. So when that gets all sorted out, everybody gets their money. That way, ding-a-ling. Everybody wins. The fans win. The players win. Think about it. When the lockout's over or there's an agreement reached, oh, everybody just lines up at the Wells Fargo, right down the block, right in front of me in line, all the owners, and they all get their share of whatever's in there halfway through the season, whenever they reach a deal. And let me tell you another thing, man. You know, everybody's holding hard to their line right now because they don't know. There's nothing real that they're bargaining over. I mean, there's the concept of lost money is a flawed concept. It's lost opportunity maybe. But man, with that escrow, you're talking about real money sitting there waiting. And I'd guarantee you'd have a deal a hell of a lot faster if there's money just piling up in some account somewhere that, you know, is yours the minute you say yes or the minute you get the other guy to compromise. I think you'd have a deal a lot sooner than that. So, footnote thought to Seth Godin for bringing that up during the NFL lockout. I thought it bears repeating here. Play ball, put the money somewhere where you can't get to it. When you have a deal, everyone gets a gigantic check and the fans love you the whole time. Sounds like a remedy to me, man. I just solved the strike crisis with some help from Seth Godin. Thank you, Seth. We always mention what you talk about on our air here. Well, well, well. What else is new, Phil? Have you gotten in your cover design for the REM EP, me and Rodney Parker? Last couple of weeks, we played some cuts from the new EP. 5 songs. Sounding great, man. So excited about it. I've gotten several entries from people. Several entries from individual people. So we've had a lot of funny entries into the our contest we're having for the cover art. You got to remember that the cover's just gonna, it's a digital release only album, so the cover's just gonna be on iTunes or, you know, something like that. So if you'd like to submit a cover, it's a contest. You know, you could win. We'll load you down with some freebies. Phil@philpritchard.com. You know, just shoot me the raw art. Don't worry about the templates and all that yet. But if you say, hey, man, I got this cool picture, incorporate a Trinidad tribute, REM, and then under it, Phil Pritchard and Rodney Parker. incorporate that text into some sort of photo or design you have, and just shoot me the raw idea. Hey, here it is, and we'll let you know and get back to it. And I email them to Rodney and some of other people who take a look at stuff like that. We'll settle on a winner and let you know. But time's running out. We're probably going to quit doing this here in the next, couple weeks or something. We've got to get this thing out, man. We've got to get this thing out. Because I told you that rumors are swirling. I got other people maybe wanting to do these tribute records that I'm very excited about. So that'll be news forthcoming. Maybe some more five-song cover EPs coming your way. Me and friends of mine doing bizarre songs by various artists. So look forward to that. Oh, what else? What else? What else? Don't forget live recording Corpus Christi the first Saturday in December. If I'm not mistaken, that is the 3rd. Is that correct? I said it wrong a couple weeks ago. Yes, December the 3rd. Live recording part 2 in Corpus Christi, Texas at the Executive Surf Club. So check that out, man. Make the trip. Got so many emails from you guys who couldn't make it last time. In August, it was very hot, had some technical difficulties with some of the gear. It was very hot, very humid out there. So we're hoping for a nice, cool night, maybe in early December, to make another run at it, get some more takes. We played some cuts, though, from that first night, first show. Great, great sounding stuff. Real excited about it. So keep abreast of all that kind of thing. Get in your cover design for REM. And in our next segment here, we're going to go across the hall here. Across the hall and knock on the door of my friend John Reynolds, resident filmmaker, Midland Creative Studios, right here in the same building as Trinidad World Recording Studios. Man, he's been working on these DVDs, man. They've brought him on to do all the Live at Billy Bob's DVDs. You know, Live at Billy Bob's originally was done by Smith Music Group here in Fort Worth. Audio is a live recording, you know, Willie and Pat and Ragweed and everybody's got all their stuff. And all the old dudes, the John Conleys and the, oh man, all those old guys, you know, did Live at Billy Bob's. Merle Haggard did one, I think. Everybody. But, we had they started doing videos recently. And man, John is very talented at, really bringing out a show. He did our Bullfighter Returns video and High Tide in the Heartland, some really cool stuff like that. So he's got a good eye for that stuff. So he's been shooting some of these Live at Billy Bob's DVDs. We're going to talk to him about all the artists he's been working with and what he's got coming down that pipe here. So stay tuned, folks. We'll have John Reynolds in here talking some Billy Bob's DVDs and other entertainment stuff in our next segment. Stay tuned.
I was out on the road late last night, saw my Alice in every headlight. Alice, Dallas, Alice, I've been from Tucson to Tucson, Cary, to Hinchinbrook to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. I've even driven the back roads so I wouldn't get away. Give me wheat, white sand, white. Show me a sign.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all you fans anywhere in the world you may be, huddled around your laptop or other listening device, zeroed in to the P2 Podcast for all the news, information, and life lessons you've come to expect from this program. How you doing, folks? Phil Pritchett here in beautiful Trinidad, hanging out, enjoying the weather here. Gotta get the cool weather coming in here with the fall. Greatness. I've still got pairs of jeans and boots soaking wet out of my patio back home from just rocking it in the August heat somewhere. Had a great weekend a little while back at, we were down in Lubbock, down in Huntsville. Good to see all the fans out there. Well, speaking of fans and the music scene in general, from across the hall here, walking briskly down the hall to join us here today, our good friend, video director, film man, a guy who does so much work in the Texas music business now. It's crazy. John Reynolds is here. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for venturing across the hall today.
It was a long trek.
It was a long trek.
But I made it.
Well, I've been John shot our videos for the Bullfighter Returns, High Tide in the Heartland. Oh man, the video blogs that we did a few years back.
That was a while back.
We need to do some more of that. I've had people say, "Man, we need to." I know you got your setup in here. I was like, "Man, I ought to come in here and update some of this
stuff."
There
you go. Yeah.
Buy you lunch a few days,
right?
At the Mexican
Inn. We can make that happen.
But John recently has done. You've been tapped for. Of course, people are familiar with the Live at Billy Bob's DVDs. So, man, you've been borrowing. Now, I want everybody to keep this in mind when they're watching these videos. Those are Trinidad World Recording Santa Fe style carpets
that's
on the
right.
stage.
And a couple of them, yeah.
That's right.
He goes,
hey, man, can
right.
I borrow your rugs?
Those are from the studio.
John has been filming these. You know, of course, this thing's been around for a long time, the DVD, Live at Billy Bob DVD. But, you know, I can say as a entertainer and as an observer of these, sometimes they're a little bit kind of like, you know, I don't make my way through them very, very well. And they're always kind of done, this is my opinion here, with varying,
I'm not saying anything.
Varying degrees of watchability, could I say? Right. I mean, it's a little bit, some of them just look kind of like a talent show in high school, like one camera on a tripod back in the stands.
The CDs have always been great,
the
though.
The CDs always
the recording,
sound great. Absolutely.
Bob does a great
absolutely.
Job. The sound quality's
the
been
video,
great. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
but the video sometimes is... I think probably a little second nature to the music. Maybe that's what I would say.
Yeah, I think so. And then what I've tried to do is just take it to the same level. So,
yeah.
So that's what I felt like I've done over the last year with them is just really take it from,
Well, the first one you did here was, Brandon,
Well, that was the second one. The first one I did was,
the Bull Rider.
The
guy.
Bull Rider. Yeah. Justin yeah. McBride.
Right. Right.
Yeah. World champion rodeo guy.
Well, that's what my point was getting around.
Yeah.
I've seen your work on these newer ones. You've brought in a lot of different cameras, lights, and man, they really look, I hope people who followed the series notice. Here with the brand,
well,
with the Brandon Ryder one, but man, I could tell just watching some of the rough cuts, and I was like, man, that looks awesome. I'm used to seeing, you know, on the tripod back by the soundboard, which is you get a feel for the show and all that, but there's definitely an element that you've no doubt picked up on watching your U2 DVDs or something.
That's right.
Spinning lights and things.
That's
I'm like,
exactly.
man, this looks like a real a real show.
Well, we light it and shoot it like a film or, you know,
if
I would shoot a commercial or a music video, that's how we shoot the live show, which is different. I mean, that's how they shoot live shows.
How many cameramen do you use on a shoot like that?
Well, we have anywhere from five to seven cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Crew, you know, one per camera.
That's a hell of a job. You got to sync all that up and edit it all.
It's a big task, you know, making that happen. And then what I really love doing is all the bonus material. So for instance, like Brandon Ryder, I went on the road with him for a couple
days. Now, did the old ones have stuff like that?
I think they did. I think they did.
A couple of them. I didn't, like I said, didn't watch a lot of them.
I'm not as familiar with the earlier ones. I mean, since I got on it, I just know that I wanted to apply what I love about, you know, music documentaries.
What you would want to see.
Exactly. Yeah. As a fan of the music or just music in general and try to tell a compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you did the Bull Rider guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now who was he again? He was a guy.
Justin McBride.
He's kind of a Crystal Dude kind of guy, kind of has a rodeo following.
Yeah, exactly. He has a great rodeo following. Really nice guy. Mm-hmm. Very successful as a bull rider.
Yeah. Starting to play music.
Yeah. And
that's where they all wind up in music.
Man, that was actually a really
great opportunity.
Thank
goodness it didn't go the other way that all the songwriters end up writing bull riders.
Right.
Bullfighters, maybe, mm-hmm. but bull riders, no.
But I got to go to Nashville with him and hung out with him and his crew and met Irv Walsey, who is George Strait's manager, and played a game of shuffleboard with him. If you want to see that documentary, it's on my website. You can see us playing shuffleboard.
I haven't seen that. I remember you telling me the story that you'd met Irv.
Yeah, so that was pretty neat.
That is cool.
Brandon Ryder's, which just recently came out. All the feedback's been really
great.
That's
the first one that's been, you know, that a lot of people listen to us would know. Of course, everybody knows Brandon Ryder.
Right.
But that one looked really cool. And that was, I know you had, I mean, I heard you talking about the Bull Rider. That was your first one. You're a little bit like, I mean, it came out great, but I'd kind of learned the ropes a little bit.
That was the first one where I kind of ran the show. I mean, I'd worked on the Wade Bowen and Mickey the Motor Cars.
Yeah.
But that was my first one to really take it over.
Right.
The
Brandon one, you actually brought in like carpets, lights.
A little more than that.
Came out really good.
You know, it was produced. The Brandon one, Justin was as well, but it was produced and the documentaries were really fun to make. I met his family and we went and talked about every song and kind of the story behind every song and why he wrote what.
Yeah.
The you know, the passion behind everything. It's a heck of a deal. It's a 4-disc set, so it's 2 DVDs and 2 CDs. It's a lot
for a lot of material for the fan. What's been the latest one? You've got a couple more you've shot here recently.
Yeah, we've got several in the can. I did one for a guy named Josh Grider.
He won the contest down there.
I had
a few dogs in that hunt that got late in the rounds.
Right.
A couple friends of mine who were.
Yeah, Smith Music had this contest that you could go and if you were voted somehow, you
uploaded
get to actually
a video.
Yeah, you upload a video.
They
played at Billy Bob's, and then I shot them a kind of stripped down version of what I would do, and then cut a video for each person, and then the fans voted, and Josh won, and then we went back and did a full blown, you know, live at Billy Bob's with all the crew and the documentary,
spinning lights, the whole deal,
smoke and fire, the whole thing. Yeah,
catwalks.
Yeah, and so I'm real happy with that one. That one's in the can. It's going to come out at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. I did one for Corey Morrow.
Heard of him.
Yeah,
we know Corey well. Did he do a full? It was just a full show kind of deal. Or was it a different?
That is the longest live at Billy Bob's recording ever.
Oh, is that the one you said you were almost out of hard drive space?
Oh man, exactly. We were looking. We have 3 minutes left. I have a picture which
this
I posted
to.
He
was like, "Oh my gosh!"
On my website, and it shows the counter, and there's 3 minutes left on everyone's camera. He ran for 3 hours. But what's cool for the fans is they're going to get 2 different DVDs. They can buy the acoustic set that he did. We did a 7 to 9 song acoustic set, and then he did the full blown, rock and roll country show. So
did he come in here and do some over? I think I was out of town.
He came in and did. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. That's a secret. You know, you're supposed to overdub on a live deal. But you got to fix something once.
They
in
come
a while.
In here. That's
he
how
came
I see
in
it.
And fix a little thing.
Hey, let me
you know?
Tell you something. When Phil does a live album, you get what you get. When there's I know there's been a live at Billy Bob's being shot because all those guys show up here in the studio,
right?
Singing the whole show back there. Oh, not all. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but yeah, of course you go back and they punch some stuff in. And do
you might miss a line or whatever, and just get it cleaner. I mean, because it's going to stand out a lot more when people visually see it,
right?
And go, well, that's not the right thing, but
yeah. But, so Mara was in here doing one. Uh-huh. What's the project? You did a project with Jason Boland as well.
Jason Boland, this is not a live at Billy Bob's, but I did an interview with him.
He's just doing a video piece for his...
A new album came out just recently, and this is going to be on the internet soon, and it's about a 30-minute conversation with him and John Dixon from Dixon Productions. He's the guy who does the Steamboat Springs thing.
Right. Yeah, the ski trip.
They just got together, they're old friends, and talked and shot that and cut that together. That'll be...
Yeah.
Hopefully, I guess, on the YouTubes soon.
Yeah.
And
we actually saw Boland's steel player, the great Roger Ray, milling about in the Trinidad kitchen out here.
That's right. Yeah.
It's like, I know that
Searching
guy.
For...
Yeah, just rummaging through the refrigerators.
Looking for a fork.
Who is that guy? Roger Ray with the steel. He's working on something back there.
Right.
Maybe we can drag him in here in a little bit and get him on the air.
There you go.
I'm sure he's busy. I mean, he's probably rushing off to another session. Those steel guys are in high demand.
That's right. That's right.
So what else? And now you're doing... You've started work on a Billy Joe Shaver.
Yeah, Billy Joe Shaver. We shot it, and we shot the show. It was a great show. I don't know. It was kind of a blessing getting a chance to meet him and work with him for a few days, and just what a crazy character, and he's a guy that you instantly like, and
very friendly.
Very friendly, and just instantly has that charm about him that everybody likes him. Everybody, you know, he's a center of attention. Seems to be just a regular guy too. Mm-hmm. You know, and
so you've been shooting some. I know you shot the show, but you've also been shooting some interview footage here at the studio.
We're gonna put together a documentary that
people talking about.
Yeah, talking about his life, and there's
one of them is yours truly, Phil Pritchett. There, telling some stories about, you know, meeting Billy Joe the first time, things like that. So who knows, man? Maybe I'll make the cut.
Maybe you will.
Will I be on
the
cutting room floor? We just left you out, Pritchett.
Right.
You can at least leave me in there somewhere.
No, you'll make it. You'll make it. I get final cut on all the videos I do, so I appreciate it. Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of work flowing your way.
Man, you know, I've been truly blessed this year to do, you know, I do what I love and love what I do.
There you go. And, that's right.
I'm doing a lot of it. So
you need a plaque of that above your door of your office.
Right.
You know,
when you walk
something
in.
You remember every day of your life.
Right.
Well, man, what do they have other guys coming down the pike? Any rumor? I mean,
I can't talk about it, but there are a lot, man. I mean, I'm really looking forward to who
they're going to have to start over at some point, though, aren't they? I mean, isn't Billy Joe in the last one?
you know,
just start over with Pat Green or something.
You know, I'd love, man, that would be great. Of course, to do a video side. You know, he did his recording and and you know, that's kind of a legendary live of Billy Bob.
But that was back before they did a lot of the production.
Yeah, they did the video. Yeah, and I would love to do that. There's a couple other guys I would love to do.
Is there some talk about maybe doing some of the guys who've done albums in the past, but maybe do a video one this time around, DVD? That'd be kind of cool.
That would be great. Yeah, I would like Pat, I would love to do, you know, one with him or Jason and those guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
the guys that did them kind of early on.
They did them early on.
A whole bunch of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, folks, John Reynolds from across the hall here, MidlandCreative.com, isn't that correct?
That's it.
Man, you can hire him. Good grief, always for hire, aren't we all? Check out Midland Creative. He's got so many great stuff on there. And you'll see P2 and, good grief, so many other Texas music luminaries on his all kinds of stuff on his website, MidlandCreative.com. Thanks for coming over here, John. Yeah. Good to see you again, man. It's been a while since you come in here and lend your thoughts to the podcast.
It has been a while.
It has been.
But I'll come back after, when we finish this Billy Joe Shaver thing, because we're hopefully going to get an interview with, you know, Willie and David Allen Coe and some of these other guys, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Love it, man. You got to bring them in here. Well, man, we'll do I wanted to get your thoughts, too. You and I always talk about the current state of movies and dying media, et cetera. We'll have to maybe we can get that next week if you're around. We'll bring you in to talk about that. Your permission, of course.
All right. Sounds great.
Well, folks, that is all we have here for this week on the podcast. Remember to book Phil Pritchett and the full band, 817-733-5256. Man, we've played so many great private parties. Corpus, Amarillo, Lubbock, Florissant, Colorado. Oh, North Carolina, Nacogdoches, Beaumont, Dallas, Frisco. Man, P2 has rocked them all. Band, solo, you name it. And also you bands out there, check out the new ad we got in Best in Texas. Quarter page ad. Designed by John Reynolds here. Thank you very much. 817-733-5256. Come make your record here at Trinidad. Who knows, man? Maybe we could bring in John with the cameras and film you, you know, for just wrap you up a package deal.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we've done that for guys. we'll shoot some stuff for you. So many stuff you can do here at Trinidad. Just shoot me an email. Phil@philpritchett.com. Well, enjoy your week, folks. We'll see you here, same time, same place next week on the P2 Podcast. Take care. Much tougher. I had my head stoved in, but I'm still on my feet, and I'm still
Willie.
Smuggling smokes and folks from Mexico, baked by the sun every time I go to Mexico. Down in Mexico, I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hechepe to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. I've even driven the back roads so I wouldn't get away. And if you give me wheat, whites, and wine, and you show me a sign, I'll be willing to be moving. I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hatchetly to Tonopah. I've driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. I've even driven the back roads so I wouldn't get away. And if you give me wheat, whites, and wine, show me a sign.